A good hand clap of praise this morning and thanksgiving. Yeah. Guys are so good. Man, I'm excited about Jesus. Pastor, you always say you're excited about, well, I am. There's no other name given to men whereby we must be saved. I'm excited about the Lord. He is good this morning. Let's stand this morning. Let's turn to a kind of familiar scripture to a lot of us. And I was sharing with somebody here, I think last week, week before last, we were talking about, you know, righteousness, and they're really getting a revelation of what they have in Christ and his righteousness. And so I was telling them, I said, I don't know if you know this or not, but I've been teaching on this for a year. It's been kind of my underlying theme, right? And so guess what I'm going to teach about today? Righteousness, amen? Romans 1:16, amen? We're going to put it up, Romans 1:16. And I love this verse of Scripture. It's so good. For Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. Amen? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Let's hold up our Bibles this morning and let's confess it with the pastor today. Come on, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have, and I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess my mind is clear, my heart is open to receive God's word, and I will never be the same, never, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn around somebody and say, right on, you're righteous today. You're righteous today. Praise the Lord. So Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Now, what is so good about the gospel is it's not the bad news, it's the good news. Gospel means good news. So Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the good news of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of that good news. God's got good news for this world today. There's a lot of bad news out there, but God's got good news, amen? He wants us to understand that it is good news that we are to proclaim to the world. There's so much bad news going on. If you look around you, you see all the bad news, but there's so much good news as well, amen? And he says, I'm not ashamed of the power of the gospel, or ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power, the dunamis of God, the power of God to salvation. To salvation. That word salvation, we know, what does that mean? It means to be delivered, prosperous, preserved, safety. All of that means salvation. So it's the power of God towards us for our deliverance, for prosperity. Come on, somebody. Amen. For our safety. Proverbs 91, praise God, it's all a part of what we have when we believe. When you believe, all of that comes to your spirit. Your spirit awakens, and you receive that through the power of God, through the preaching of the gospel. You receive, as you believe, all of this good stuff comes to you. Amen? So I want us to look at a story this morning. We're going to actually look at a couple of them. But I want you to turn over, if you will, to Mark. And we're going to look at, let me go here just a second. Amen. I'm just going to read. It's out of Mark. It's where the friends brought the paralytic to Jesus. And it said, when they broke up the roof, they let down the mat, and the paralytic was lying on. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. He said, son, your sins are forgiven you. So this group of men, you know, they heard about Jesus. They had a friend that was paralytic, and they brought him to Jesus, and they couldn't get to him because of the press of the crowd. So instead of letting that deter them, they brought him to the rooftop and began to tear off the rooftop and let him down in front of Jesus. And so what I want to share with you is, don't let anybody or anything destruct your view of Jesus. You need to have a view of Jesus this morning, amen? You need to have a view of who he is, what he's done for you, how good he is towards you, amen? Actually, I lost my place there, so I can't tell you offhand, so I'm going to paraphrase the story to you, but it's good, right? So you need to don't let this distract you from seeing Jesus. Amen. So give me grace this morning. So you need to understand that don't let anything distract your view from Jesus. In fact, the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And many times, what the enemy wants to do is throw distractions in our way from us really seeing Jesus. And one of the distractions that he'll throw our way is trying to be ruled by your emotions all the time. If you're being ruled by your emotions, you're going to be distracted and your mind's going to be off of the Lord and it's going to be over here on your feelings. So we don't want to be ruled by our emotions. We want to be ruled by faith. In fact, the Bible says that when Jesus saw their faith, when Jesus saw the faith of this man's friends, he said to the man, he said, your sins are forgiven. Wow. When he saw their faith, he said to the man, your sins are forgiven. So what I want you to understand this morning is that God has forgiven you. There it is, Mark 2. Thank you, brother. He said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. I was doing a pretty good job, though. So when you got the word in your heart, you may not know the exact address, but you know you have the word in your heart, right? So when he saw their faith, he said, son, your sins are forgiven. So it is amazing that he didn't say to him, be healed first, but he said, your sins are forgiven. That was the priority of Jesus, to forgive our sins. Go on down. Let's go on down to the next verse. Amen. Look at this. And some of the religious folks were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, of course. Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Blasphemies like this. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Look at this. This is so good. I love this. But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your heart? Man, Jesus is sharp, right? Oh, man, he just knows. He is in the know. Hallelujah. Next verse. Let's look at this. Amen. Which is easier to say, paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk. Next verse. But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority here on earth, power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And look at what happened. Amen. Next verse. Immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. Amen. So don't allow people to distract you from seeing Jesus. People will distract you from seeing Jesus. They will try their best at times to distract you from seeing Jesus. So we don't want anything to block our view from seeing Jesus, right? Amen? And what's so good about this, what's so beautiful about this is that Jesus was willing not only to forgive, but to heal. And there's a close association with forgiveness and the ability to walk in health and wholeness. There's a close association with forgiveness and the ability to walk in health and wholeness. Because when you know that you are forgiven, you're at the place where you can receive everything else from God. That's why the psalm said that I quoted this morning, Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, my mind, will, and emotions, right? I don't let my emotions rule me. I rule my emotions. Because sometimes you don't feel like praising the Lord, but you praise him anyway, right? Because if you're going by your emotional feelings all the time, you're going to be like this all the time. Up and down, all over the place. Oh, I don't feel like, oh, I feel like it. Oh, I don't feel like, oh, I don't feel like it. God doesn't want you to be an emotional wreck. Turn to somebody and say, God doesn't want you to be an emotional wreck. Amen. He wants you solid and stable in Jesus Christ. He wants you planted in Him. He wants you to have a firm foundation in Him. Amen. He doesn't want your boat just rocking all over the place. One minute you see somebody and they're like, oh, I'm good. One minute, oh, I'm good. No. God wants you to be solid, full of joy. The opposite of your emotion is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, peace, joy, long-suffering, that's who you are. Turn to somebody and say, that's who you are. That's who you have in you today. Amen? So Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul. You thought I forgot, didn't you? Now, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. And the first benefit He lists, what is the first one He lists? Look at the next one. Who forgives some of your iniquities. Let me read this in the Hebrew this morning. Who forgives a little bit of your iniquities? No. No, who forgives what? All of your iniquities. Our very first benefit that we have from God is that we are forgiven of all our iniquities. When Jesus died on the cross, He forgave you yesterday, today, and forever. All your iniquities. And then He says, look at what's associated with this. And who heals all your diseases. So when you know you're forgiven, and that's why Jesus, I believe, He said to this man, look, your sins are forgiven. And not only are your sins forgiven, what came next? Here's your healing coming along with the forgiveness. Hallelujah. Take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man took up his bed and walked. So we have this association of knowing that we're forgiven, amen. It allows you to walk in health and receive your healing. Before you can walk, you must know that you're already seated with Christ in heavenly places. You are not just a pardoned sinner, but you are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? And knowing that you are forgiven precedes the ability to walk out a life that glorifies God. And when you know that you are forgiven, any part of you that is weakened will be healed. Wow, healing is a part of our forgiveness. It comes with it, right? So Ephesians 1:7, look at Ephesians 1:7. I love this verse, amen? Ephesians 1:7, look at what it says, Ephesians 1:7. Who forgives, oh, that's Psalm 103, there we go. Ephesians 1:7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. The Greek word, you see have there? The Greek word for have in this verse is in the tense. That means your redemption is continually enduring. That's what that means. Your redemption, it just doesn't end when you make a mistake. When you fall short somewhere, your redemption is continually enduring whatever you may face. Glory, man, that doesn't excite you guys. That lights my fire. Man, that's what you have. You have this continually eternal redemption. Man, it is so good. Amen. God, you are so good. Hallelujah. We have this in Jesus Christ. It tells us what we have. In whom we have our redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins, the riches of His, according to the riches of His grace. So knowing that you've been made righteous in Christ is equivalent to being healed in your body. Knowing you've been made righteous is equivalent to being healed in your body. When you turn on that righteousness in your mind and in your soul realm, and you begin to know in your knower, all of a sudden healing is just flowing to every part of your body. Life is flowing to every part of your body. Amen? Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5:21. I love this. You guys know this. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Look at this. God, you're so awesome this morning. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us who knew sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He that knew no sin became sin, who us knew sin became righteous in him. So now we are righteous in Jesus Christ. Amen. So we're conscious of that righteousness that we have in God. And when you're conscious of that righteousness, you walk in it and life begins to just flow out of you. Turn to somebody and say, no getting old here. No, amen. Turn to somebody and say, you're not going to get old, you're just getting better. In fact, you're getting wiser, amen. You're not getting old, you're just getting better and you're getting wiser. Praise God. It is awesome, amen. So be conscious of what we have in Christ. God does not see any sin in your spirit any longer. What God sees in you is Jesus. When he looks at you, he sees Jesus, amen. That's who he sees in you this morning. You have Jesus living big in you. Praise God. Let's look at Romans chapter 4. I love Romans. It's a great book. Romans 4, 5, and 8. Let's look at this for a moment this morning. Y'all getting anything this morning? Amen. But to him who does not work, but to him who does not work, but to him who does not work, grace doesn't require you to work. Grace requires you just to believe. But believes on him who justifies the ungodly. Isn't that awesome? His faith is counted, imputed, put into your account for righteousness. So the moment you believe, you are accounted, it's in your account as righteousness, right? Not working for it. I used to think I had to work to be righteous. I worked real hard to be righteous. You know, I did stuff to be, I tried to pray enough to be righteous. I tried to repent enough to be righteous. I'd repent every day, sometimes 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times a day, because I just wanted to be right with God. I didn't realize that being right with God, that God made me right with him the moment I believed. I thought I had to do something all the time to get right with him. And I thought he was mad at me all the time if I wasn't right with him. And all of a sudden, man, I realized, hold on a second. Grace came into my life and the revelation of God's grace, and grace has put me right with him. Not on my ability, but on his ability. Not on what I've done, but on what he's done. And now I find a rest in him because I'm not made on my own righteousness. I'm made out of his righteousness. Woo! Amen and amen. Who justifies the ungodly? Even while we were yet sinners, the Bible says, Christ died for us. Man, that is an amazing thing. That's why they call it amazing grace. Let's go on down. Amen. We're going to go down through verse 8. Praise the Lord. Just as David also describes the blessedness. David had a picture of Christ. He knew, he saw this picture. Describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from work. Who God lays it on us, imputation, laying it on us. Praise the Lord. Next verse. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are what? Are covered. Man, look at this. Next verse. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin, shall not place sin upon us. When Adam sinned, it was placed on all of humankind. When Jesus came to forgive all of humankind. We are forgiven in him. In him. Come on, somebody. So your righteousness is a gift from God paid for by Jesus Christ. The price has been paid for. It's been settled. So righteousness means we have a right standing with God. Charles Spurgeon said this. He considered, he was considered the prince of preachers. He said that God justifies the ungodly and is able to treat the former sinner as if he has never, ever sinned in his life. Wow. No matter how hard you work, you cannot do what Jesus did, because what he did is a gift and you can't receive it by working, right? So once you have placed your faith in Jesus, God will never change his mind about you. We are now not just pardoned criminals. God does not impute sin to us anymore, and we stand free and holy in front of him. The blood of Jesus has done this. Praise God. You've been washed whiter than snow in your spirit this morning. What? Man, that's awesome, Pastor. Praise God. Yes, you have. Whiter than snow. Man, God sees you. I mean, it's just like, hey, man, that's my daughter. That's my son. I'm well pleased with you today. I love it, Jesus. Psalm 28:1. Praise the Lord. A Psalm of David. To you I will cry, O Lord, my rock. Do not be silent, lest you were silent to me. I became like those who go down to the pit. God is not silent towards us now. God is rejoicing over this. Praise God. He is a rejoicer over us today. The enemy tries to come to us and roar at us, but God is not silent towards us today. Hallelujah. Listen to me. God loves you so much this morning. He's singing over you this morning. He's rejoicing over you this morning. He's speaking good of you today. You know why? Not because of you, but because of Jesus. He is your rock this morning. He's the one that you go to. Amen. The Bible says over in Peter that he says that the devil walks about as a roaring lion. But we sang this morning about that lion being in our lungs. You know, you have the lion of Judah within you. And the Bible tells us that the righteous are as bold as a lion. Amen. He may appear like a lion, but you have the real lion within you. Amen. And when you get up and begin to worship and you begin to praise him, that lion is roaring out. And you know what it's roaring out? That you are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and you have a right to receive everything that God has supplied to you in salvation, including your healing, including your peace of mind, including prosperity, and everything God has supplied, because he sees you now as being right with God because of Jesus Christ. Amen. Can you give him a hand this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Lord, you are so good and so powerful. Amen. You are good. You are the righteousness of God this morning. Amen. He is our righteousness today. I want you to turn over to Mark 5 quickly. You know, not only is God, he's righteous to us and he brings healing to us, but God has emotional, mental healing towards us as well. Mark chapter 5, verse 1. Amen. Hallelujah. God has emotional and mental health towards us as well. Three of you said amen. God has, listen, this last year, there's been an onslaught of fear released. There are so many believers, even today, that are walking in fear. That is not where God wants you walking at. Your righteousness, that's why I said the righteous are bold as a lion. Amen. God wants you walking in your righteousness so you can face things in life and overcome them and them not overcome you. Amen? And one of the areas that the enemy, and the only access he really has to us is through our thought life. And so if our thoughts are filled with fear, we're going to be filled with defeat. If our thoughts are filled with faith, we're going to be filled with victory. And Jesus has all power over the enemy. Then he came to the other side of the sea of the country of Gadarenes. It's amazing. He came. Notice he came. He comes to us. No matter where we are in life, no matter what we're going through, Jesus is there with you. He said, I will never, ever, ever leave or forsake you. And when he came out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. A demonic man with an unclean spirit came out of the tombs. He was living among the dead. That's exactly where the enemy wants you to be living at. He doesn't want you living in life. He wants you living among the dead. Amen? He was living among the dead. People are in dead religion today. Jesus is not a dead religion. He is a relationship. He's alive, and he's got righteousness for you today. And he said, and had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains. Because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, and neither could anyone tame him. This is one bad dude. And always, look at this, and always night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. Kind of interesting because the word stones there is the same word for stone that was used in the Ten Commandments as they written in stone. You see, the commandments will cut you. The commandments will cut you. Grace will heal you. Grace will heal you. So here's this almost impossible seemingly situation of a man that was totally out of his mind to speak. Next verse. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. That is an amazing statement to me. The Bible says even demons tremble at the sound of that name. Next verse. And he cried out with a loud voice, saying, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. Turn to somebody and say, you got some power in you. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. This demon said, hey, man, I'm just saying, hey, man, don't mess with me too much. Don't mess with me. Man, we get so intimidated by the enemy. We should be intimidating the enemy. Amen. Don't allow him to intimidate you. And the greatest way he intimidates you and tries to get into your mind is through fear. That's why Paul wrote Timothy, he said, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. That's what he told him. Don't allow your mind to become unsound. And the way it becomes unsound is the very previous word that he says, love. Because perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has torment. And that's why Paul told Timothy, he's given you power, love, and a sound mind. So God's got a sound mind for us today in his righteousness and forgiveness. Next verse. For he said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. I love the way Jesus handles stuff, man. He doesn't go into some long litany. Yay, yay. He doesn't go into the King James vernacular. Yay, I say unto thee. He is just like, he knew his authority. When you know your authority and you walk in your authority, you don't have to put on a show. You just speak that authority that you have. Come on, somebody. And that demon has to move. He has to get out of your way. Amen. And I want to just reiterate here again, if I may, a believer cannot be demon-possessed. I'm just saying. Come, can I get an amen out of that? You might be depressed if you open up your mind. You might be obsessed if you open up your mind, but you can never be depressed because what has light to do with darkness? And besides that, the Bible says your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Next verse. He said, what is your name? He said, Legion, for we are many. A legion was about 2,000 to 3,000, right? And he begged him earnestly that, and he begged him, and he begged him. He begged him. He begged him, he begged Jesus, folks. He would not send him out of the country. He begged Jesus. What authority is that? Right? Next verse. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. Amen? Next verse. So all the demons begged him, saying, send us to the swine that we may enter them. Demon has to have something to enter in on this earth. And at once Jesus gave them permission. Jesus gave them what? Come on, say it with me. Permission. You have the same authority. We have the same authority as Jesus. He gave us that authority. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine, and there were about 2,000, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. Wow. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what had happened. Look at this. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting, no longer tormented, no longer cutting himself, no longer in the mountain, no longer violently running, no longer doing any of that stuff, but resting, clothed, no longer naked, but clothed. You have a robe of righteousness, amen? And in his right mind, in his right mind, hallelujah. Turn to somebody this morning and say, you are in your right mind this morning. Amen. You have a sound mind today. God has soundness in our thinking and in our mind, provided by righteousness, provided by knowing that we're forgiven, and provided that we know that we are unconditionally loved. Do you get that today? Amen. Sitting, resting, not anxious, resting, fully clothed in his right mind. That's who you are in Jesus this morning. Sitting, resting, fully clothed in his righteousness and in a sound mind. Amen. Don't allow the enemy. You say, Pastor, how do I do that, Pastor? Anytime a negative thought that comes against God's word, you just cast it down. You just take your authority over it and you start declaring who you are in Jesus. I am forgiven, I am healed. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. I am filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. The Spirit of God is flowing out of me. I am no longer condemned. I am no longer condemned. Amen. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. That's who I am. Praise God. Why do I think confession is so powerful? Because confession lets the enemy know who you have and what you got. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Come on, give God some praise. Hallelujah. God, you are so good. Amen and amen. Wow. Amen. Raise your hands this morning. Let's talk to the Lord a second. Amen. Confess with Pastor this morning. Thank you, Jesus. I am forgiven. And because I am forgiven, I am healed. I proclaim my healing today. I am right in my spirit. Pure, holy, sanctified in my spirit, totally free by God's grace. Nothing has a hold on me but Jesus and his love. I am so loved today. Thank you for that, Jesus. Thank you for your freedom this morning. Thank you for your anointing in my life that destroys the yoke. That destroys the yoke. I receive everything that I need today, in Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Give God some praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, before you leave this morning, before you go somewhere, I want you to find 10 people, 10's the number of completion, and tell them, I am the righteousness of God in Christ today. Would you do that? Come on, find